your embrace, light of the world forever reign.
Hallelujah. Good to run into his arms, isn't it? And it's good to know they're always open and always welcome. Well, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forth. It's time to take up our tithes and offering. Today is the day we take up our benevolence fund to help those in need. So I know that you've been praying about it, whatever God's laid on your heart. Got a little bit of ring there. Whatever he's laid on your heart, I know that you will give and to help those in need. Hallelujah. Father, as we come to you, we just count it a joy to give to you today. And Lord, you have supplied every need that we have. And Lord, we ask that you just take this that we're about to receive. Lord, use it to further your kingdom, to bring those to know you, to help those in need, to do all your work, to do all the stuff that you've asked us to do, Lord. And we ask you bless the giver and bless the gift. And Lord, we know that those out there in need, Lord, that you will touch their hearts. And you will do everything that is possible for them. In Jesus Christ's name. If you'll bring forth your offering.
Sacrifice, freedom will prevail. chains from the wages of my sin. Just when I felt like giving in, mercy came running like a prisoner set free. Passed all my failures to the point of my need. From the sin that I carried was all I could see.
And when I could not reach mercy,
mercy came running. Sometimes I still feel so
Hallelujah. How you know one day when we deserved it the least, mercy came running to us. It came to us. Today I'm going to talk about finding grace and mercy. Anybody here need a little grace this morning? If you need a little grace, raise your hand and wave it. You need a little mercy, now you can raise both hands. Amen. We all need it. But this morning I want to talk a little bit about finding it. I mean, you know, sometimes we look for it, and we can't find it. It just doesn't seem to be there. It seems like we just have to go through something. There's a definition of grace, and some of you probably heard this, but it's called the free, unmerited favor of God as manifest in salvation of sinners, and in this one, and the bestowal of blessings. How many needs a blessing? I could use a blessing. I could use a couple blessings this morning. I don't know about you. Maybe you're okay. And how about mercy? Mercy is this compassion of forgiveness that is shown to someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. So someone that could punish or harm you decides not to. That's mercy. There's three stories in the Bible that I'm going to bring up. Two real quickly, and one I'm going to talk a little bit more about mercy and grace. The first one is the story of the woman in adultery. Most of you remember that story. The woman was in adultery. She had been caught, and she was about to be stoned to death. Now, some things we need to know about that. Number one, she was guilty. She had been caught in the act. She was guilty, and her punishment by Jewish law was to be stoned. So she was facing that, and I'm sure she was calling out and crying for them to have mercy on her. But they weren't about to have any mercy, were they? How many know it's just hard to get mercy and grace from a person when they're mad at you or they think you deserve it? But she cried out, but nobody would answer. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jesus came. He was there. And he showed her mercy. And she didn't call out for him to help her. She wasn't searching for him to help her. How many knows he was just there? Mercy found her. Mercy and grace came to her. Second story is a woman who had the issue of blood. Think about it. For many, many, many years she had this issue. And she probably went to every doctor, every quack, everybody she could think of to find a way to cure this. But nothing seemed to work. So she carried this issue for years and years. And so one day it came to her, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get to Jesus, I think I'll be all right. How many knows what happened? She pressed through, didn't she? She pressed through. She didn't let anything get in her way. She says, I'm going to get to him, and I'm going to get what I know I can from him. So she pressed through, and she touches him, and what happened? She was healed. He didn't know who it was. Matter of fact, he said, who touched me? He wasn't directly going to, but he just getting to Jesus. How many knows we got to get to Jesus? If we can get to Jesus, everything's going to be okay, right? I don't care what we're going through. I don't care what's happening in our life. If we can just get to Jesus, everything's going to be okay. But how many know sometimes you got to press through? How many know sometimes the circumstances around you are so big you can't even see Jesus? Always sees the circumstances. And the third story is about mercy and grace that affects every one of us today that are here. And everyone that's not here, it affects them. It's the story of Noah. Because without mercy and grace, there would be no place. And I'm going to get into that story right now. How many knows Noah found grace? He found grace. Now, let's look around at the world today. It's easy to see a lot of problems, right? Things aren't going real well. There's corruption in government. Morality has declined. It's going bad, isn't it? Things are turning really bad. We see the lack of respect toward each other. See people that are taking lives, have no respect for life whatsoever. It's nothing to them. But you know, I'm telling you right now, as we look at that, this is the same things that was going on back in Noah's time. Exact same thing. God used one man to save it all. Let's look at the state of the world. We want to look at what was going on. Let's look at Genesis 6, 5 through 7. Then the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, that every inclination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil at the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man. That's pretty bad when the Lord I wish I hadn't made man. On the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe out mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men, animals, creatures that from above the ground, birds of the air, for I am grieved that I made them all. It's pretty tough when God gets that upset, isn't it? And I'm telling you right now, it's coming, it's going to happen again. We're all headed in the same direction. Noah's time wasn't much different than today. Let's look at that a little bit. What was the first thing he said? He said, every inclination of the thoughts of the heart are only evil at the time. Doesn't take much imagination to think about that, does it? People were probably at that time, they just disregarded God. They may have talked about him, but they didn't live with him. They didn't live for him. They mentioned his name. They didn't fear him anymore. How many know the fear of God has left this country and most of the world right now? People don't fear God. They don't care. So God, how many knows it's even preached in a lot of churches that God is good? God is a good God. He would never do that. He would never hurt you. How many knows God is also a just God? How many knows you got to hear all sides? You got to hear what's going on, completely going on out there. Only a few, you got to understand this. Noah's day, it's not much different from our own. How do we know that? Just a few chapters later in Genesis, how about it says that Babel, the people of Babel, had turned against God. All of a sudden, it wasn't much later than God had already destroyed the earth once time. They were just going right back to what they were doing again. Didn't take long for man to turn, did it? I think of 9/11. Everybody remembers 9/11. Man, the church is filled up. People turned to God. They thought the end was coming. And as soon as it didn't come for a little while, right back to the old ways again. Right back to the old ways. Then he goes on to say that even Paul said that the Romans, there is none righteous, no, none that are good, not one who seeks God. So we see that man has turned back against God again. And it's only gotten worse. If you don't believe it, how did we get there? If you do an experiment, if you watch television, how many watch television? Be honest. Yeah, I know you watch TV. Yeah. Don't tell me you don't watch television, because most of you do. And when you're watching TV, what do you see? It's not good, is it? You see violence. You see illicit sexual behavior. You see adultery. You see all this stuff happening on television, right? And then when we first started doing it, when that first came out, everybody was like, this is horrible. But what's happened today? We've turned blind to it because it becomes in us. We see it every day. I read a story of a young man that lived in Chicago. And he brought her, a friend came from the Midwest visiting him one day. And they were walking down the street, and somebody pulled out a gun and shot somebody across the street right in front of him. Just shot him. And the young man from Chicago just walked like that nothing ever happened. The guy from the Midwest is freaking out. Well, what's going on? What, we got to run. We got to hide. He says, happens every day. He got used to it. It became the normal. How many knows if we do something long enough, it becomes normal to us? It becomes normal. We got to be careful not to do the wrong things over and over and over, because they start or watching this or seeing that or not seeing what it is. In other words, we have turned away from God. God has been removed from our schools. God has been removed from our government, which it was brought forth through the Word. It was set up through God, a nation that God has set up. And the last one is our everyday life is turning away from God. Everything you do and see begins to turn away from God. I'll tell you a story that happened yesterday. By the way, Pastor Dale's on his way back today. He'll be back today, so you don't have to put up with me but today, so that's okay. But yeah, my wife has gone to see my grandson and family. She left yesterday, and we are at what you call pre-check. You know what that means? That means they don't care what you're doing. You can just go on through the system real fast. Well, she got stopped, and they took her bag. And they opened her bag up. They said, there's something in there that we got to see what that is. They opened it up, and you know what they pulled out? Her Bible. And they began to go through the whole thing, just looking through it. And she said she'd never had that happen before. I said, well, I guess something bad's going to happen because you got caught with a weapon. They let her go on through, but never before has ever been stopped for something like that. So I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that we've got to be careful what we're doing. We've got to be careful what we listen to. Music. Let's take music for a second. When I was a youth, I taught youth for many years. When I taught youth, I said, look, it's not the beat. It's not the rhythm. It's the words. What does it say? Now, I'm going to touch some people right now. How many knows there's a lot of songs out there that are not of God? But we listen to them every day. How about the one that says, the old country song that says, if you can't love the one you're with, right? Whatever that, y'all, I knew y'all knew that song. I knew if I just. But there's a lot of songs like that out there, and I was listening to some music that some kids were listening to, and it sounded good in the beginning, but if you heard word for word what it said, it was all against God. It had violence. It had all kinds of stuff that you couldn't hardly understand it, but it was in there. So we got to be careful what we're putting inside of us, because if we put it in there, guess what? It begins to grow. We got to be careful what we watch. We got to pay attention what people are talking about. How many knows when you just try to fit in, sometimes you get fit in to the wrong people? You got to be really careful who you hang around. All right? Got to be careful what's going on. You got to pay attention. You got to be a godly person. You got to be concerned about who you are, not who everybody else is. You can't be like them. You got to be like you. And you can make a difference. How many knows it's not easy at work? How many has had some problems at work trying to be a good Christian? It can cause some stuff, right? But you just got to stay on your ground. I know one thing. My God's a lot bigger than anybody I'm employed by. I read this, and I thought it was kind of... Jack Swindell wrote this. I thought it was pretty interesting. It says this. Because of sin, man has taken the deity out of religion, the supernatural out of Christianity, the authority from the Bible, God out of education, morality and virtue out of literature, beauty and truth out of art, ethics out of business, and fidelity out of marriage. That's happened, hasn't it? The nature of the world has turned. And it's not much different now than it was when Noah was there. So we got to find out what happened with Noah and what changed everything. One of the things we got to look at is the character of Noah. Let's look at who Noah was. How many knows if Noah found grace, if we kind of see who he was, we can find grace, right? And we can find mercy. Let's look at it. And this is what it says in Genesis 6. 6 through 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Now, what does that mean? Noah found grace. It's important to know that we don't miss anything here. Noah didn't earn God's blessings. Noah didn't earn God's grace. He didn't earn it. It was given to him. But God found favor and found grace in his life. Did you know Noah was not a perfect man? Although we seem to think he must have been such a faithful, perfect man that God chose him. Noah, matter of fact, later on we find out that he liked the sauce a little bit. And I had a friend of mine, a pastor that I had one time, said, yeah, he was nothing but a drunken sailor. It's true. Think about it. But he earned God's trust. God looked new Noah and said, I can trust him to do what I asked him to do. I don't know when Noah was transformed. I don't know when his transformation happened, but it happened somewhere early in life. And he became a man that God could trust and do what he needed to do. It also says he was a righteous man. What does that mean? Noah was a man who did what God wanted him to do. He did what was right. How many knows, if we just do what's right, things will be a lot better, right? That's not a hard thing to do. Let's just do what's right. Do the right thing. Excuse me. In my business, I was in the insurance business. That was what we did. We based our whole business on, let's just do what's right. Boy, sometimes we had to fight the insurance companies to get done what was right. But we stood by that. And by doing that, God blessed us. One day when I have time, I'll tell you that whole story, which will take about half a day. But God blessed us from nothing to a good business. He was a righteous man. Noah was unafraid to be different. Boy, we can find that out in just a minute. He was a little bit different. He also was a blameless man. Now, what does that mean? Society looked at Noah and thought and concluded that he had a good relationship with his friends and his neighbors. They probably thought he was a little weird for what he was doing, but they looked at him different. No one wondered if Noah was dealing honestly with them, because he was an honest person. No one knew that no one thought he was doing anything wrong with his family. They knew that he was not trying to manipulate them by being nice to them. No one questioned Noah's sincerity. They probably questioned his sanity, but not his sincerity. And they didn't question his heart. I mean, even today, the Bible says that you select your leaders who are of good reputation. I mean, those reputation doesn't come overnight. It's something you build on. He just says he walked with God. He walked with God. Now, you know what that means? That means he just didn't come visit God on Sunday morning. Right? Or just Wednesday night. And you left him alone the rest of the time. It said he walked with him. He was there with God. God was with him. How many knows that's what we have to do? We have to walk with God. We have to put God in our life day in and day out. We can't just say, okay, Sunday morning, I'm going to praise God today. It's Sunday morning. Isn't it Sunday morning, right? We all praise God. What about Monday morning? How about when things go really bad at work or at home or family? We still have to praise Him, don't we? We have to walk with Him every day. We have to be in fellowship with Him. I mean, if you're in fellowship with God, you begin to build His character. If you're in fellowship with someone else, you start building their character. You become like them, right? Or them like you. So if you want to be like anybody, who should we be like? Jesus, right? So we need to be like Him. We need to walk with Him every day. We need to act. Let me ask you a question. Would you act any different if Jesus Christ was sitting right beside you right now? How about tomorrow when you wake up, He's sitting in your living room waiting on you? How about if you go to work and He's standing right beside you at the water cooler or someplace when you're talking about stuff? Right? How about when people are telling those jokes that you really don't want to hear, but you listen to them anyhow? If He was standing right beside you, would you act different? Probably would, wouldn't you? Well, guess what? He is. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He ain't gone anywhere. He's right there with you. You can't hide from Him. You can't have secrets from Him. He's right with you every day. Where you go, what you say, what you do, He hears it all. He sees it all. So we've got to act our life that way. We can't be two-sided. I mean, anybody know some good two-sided Christians? Christians on Sunday and for the world on Monday. There's a lot of them out there. You can say amen or oh my one. But you know what? Even though all that mess was going on in the world and God wanted to destroy everything, He saw Noah and He came up with a plan. And here's the plan. I'm going to read it to you. God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you're to build it. The ark's to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Make the roof for it and finish the ark within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark. Make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters to the earth and destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath and of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you. And you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wives and your sons' wives with you. You will bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male, female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, every kind of creature that moves along the earth will come to you to be kept alive. And you will take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. God, that's a pretty intense plan, wasn't it? I could kind of see Noah right now. God's telling him all this stuff, and he's going, okay, I'll do that. And as soon as God kind of left the picture, he probably turned around and says, how am I going to do that? Can you imagine him, someone, God speaking to you to do something like that? First of all, we got to remember a couple of things. They were 500 miles from any body of water. 500 miles. There's no water. No place to put this ark. Never seen one something like that before. It wasn't an architect, a bunch of architects, and a bunch of people there to design it. They just told, here's what I want you to do. We got to understand, too, this thing was 4.5 stories high. Has anybody ever been out to the one they've been out in, was it Missouri or someplace? The ark? It's supposed to have been a recreation of this. And it was long as 1.5 football fields. Someone had to do the math and figured out that ARC had carried the capacity of 522 standard railroad stock cars. You know, the back of a tractor and trailer, those big ones? 522 of those would fit in there. Or the equivalent of 8 freight trains with 65 cars each. That wasn't just a recreational vehicle, was it? Wasn't a little boat we go out on the lake in. This was huge. They lived 500 miles. And also, God told them it was going to rain. Guess what it hadn't done? Never rained. They knew what rain was. All the water came up from the ground, came up from the dew. That's how they got their water. Suddenly he's saying, it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. So not only Noah have to build this ark, but he was to tell the people. He was trying to get people to understand what was happening and turn their hearts. So he had had a tough time. He had to explain the need of this boat. Why was he building this thing? You know, I read this story and I thought it was pretty cool. Imagine today that all of a sudden somebody, I'll say me, God spoke to me and said, I want you to build this ark. I want you to build this boat. And here's all the details. Well, here's what would happen if it was a Noah today. Listen to this. The Lord spoke to Noah and said, in 6 months, I'm going to make it rain until the whole earth is covered with water and all the evil people will be destroyed. But I want to save some people and take two out of every of the living things on the planet. I'm ordering you to build me an ark. And in a flash of lightning, boom, all the specifics came to him. Noah looked up and said, okay. Trembling in fear as he was looking over the blueprints. This is today, remember. 6 months and it starts to rain. Thunder happens. God speaks and says, Noah, you better finish my ark or you're going to have to learn how to swim for a very long time. Another 6 months passes. The skies begin to cloud up and rain begins to fall. The Lord saw Noah was sitting on the front yard weeping, and there was no ark. Noah, shouted the Lord, where's my ark? A lightning bolt crashed to the ground next to Noah. And Noah said, Lord, please forgive me. I did my best. But there were big problems. First, I had to get a building permit for the ark and do a construction project. And your plans didn't meet code. So I had to hire an engineer and redraw the plans. Then I got into a big fight over whether or not the ark needed fire sprinkler system. Then my neighbors objected, claiming I was violating zoning by building an ark in my front yard. So I had to get a variance from the city planning commission. Then I had a big... A big problem getting enough wood for the ark, because there was a ban on cutting trees in order to save the spotted owl. I had to convince the fish and wildlife people that I needed the wood to save the owls. But they wouldn't let me catch any owls because they were endangered. Then the carpenters formed a union and went outside on strike. I had to negotiate a settlement with the National Labor Relations before anyone could pick up a saw and a hammer. So we have 16 carpenters on board, but no owls. Then I started gathering up the animals, and I got sued by the animal rights group. They objected to me taking only two of each kind. Just when I got the suit dismissed, the EPA notified me that it didn't complete an ARC without filling out an environmental impact statement on your proposed flood. Let me tell you, they didn't take kindly the idea when I handed them a globe. I said, this is what's going to go. Then the Army Corps of Engineers wanted a map of the new floodplain. They weren't amused either. Now I'm going to try and resolve a complaint from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission over how many I'm supposed to hire. And to top it all off, the IRS seized all my assets, claiming I'm trying to avoid paying taxes by leaving the country. That's what it would take today. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? How many knows that's true? It was a monumental task. Not only to think how much money do you think it cost Noah to build that thing? Amazing. But Noah was faithful. He kept right on until he got it done. Not only that, but he was telling everybody what was about to happen. But nobody would listen. Let's think about a couple things. Think about what happened as a result of this one man. Noah found grace from God to save the entire world population, bringing it down to one family and redoing it. God was ready to wipe it all out. How many know God's about ready to wipe it all out again? How many knows if we need to make sure, because he said he would not wipe it out until he got to talk his people home, right? We got to make sure we're one of them. God's mercy and grace is everywhere, but we have to seek it, we have to find it, and we have to know that it's there. He may ask you to befriend and reach out to some people that might make fun of you for your reputation. He may ask you to take a risk financially in order to reach others. He may call you to embark on something no one has ever done before. He may call you to take a personal stand in your place of employment. He may call you to care for someone who doesn't really appreciate you or what you do. He may call you to show love even in a situation where the other person is showing no love. He may ask you to leave that which is comfortable and go where he leads. I mean, he knows we got to be willing to follow. We got to be willing to follow. Mercy found Noah. Noah wasn't out looking for it. Was he out looking and say, man, I'd like to build a big something. God, give me something big to build. No. Grace found him. Grace can find us. Mercy and grace is out there. God is willing to have mercy and grace, but we have to seek it. First of all, like Noah, we have to live the right life. Be the right kind of person. Do the right things like Noah did. Build your reputation as a good Christian person. How many know your reputation takes a long time to build up and a few seconds to tear down? Anybody experienced that? Doesn't take long, does it? But you can build it back. You can start. When do you start? Right now. You start right now by asking him forgiveness and move on and get back to where you need to be. I mean, in order to be the man that you need to be to get the grace and mercy, you have got to seek. God has to see favor in you. If you don't love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, he's not going to look at you that way. I mean, that's not easy. Did he ever say it'd be easy? How many, anybody ever tell you when you give your life to God, everything turns out real good, easy, smooth? How many know when you give your life to him, that's when the bumps start coming and the humps start coming and the trials start coming and the tests start coming? It all starts coming at that point. See, God wants to know if you really mean what you say. That's why sometimes He allows things to happen in your life to see how you react to it. I've always said this. God doesn't care how you act. Did you know that? He doesn't care how you act. He wants to know how you react. How many know when you react, you don't have time to think, right? Have you ever reacted and said something you wish you hadn't said? Surely not. None of you have ever done that. Have you ever done something you wish you hadn't done? Have you ever spoken something you wish you could reach out and grab and bring back? Doesn't happen, does it? When you speak those words, the damage is done. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Be careful where you go. In other words, be godly. Be godly. Like I said earlier, if you act your life every day as though Jesus Christ is standing right beside you, you're going to be all right. You're going to be okay. But when you start figuring out He's not going to see or notice anything I'm doing, that's when you get in trouble. I'm going to try to bring this to a close. You know, we have to realize what's at stake. Just like they were in the days of Noah. There may be no flood coming, but judgment's coming. I said there may not be a flood coming, but judgment is coming. When? We don't know. Any day, any time. Are you ready for that? If judgment came right now, would you be ready? We have to be prepared that it is right now. We have to be prepared. What if at that time that God just said, I don't care. I'm just going to destroy it all. It would be done, wouldn't it? Well, this time He's already put His plan in for His people. Jesus came with His mercy and His grace to prepare a way for us. He's done, right? He did it. All we have to do is follow Him. Accept Him in our life and live our life for Him. Doesn't sound too big, does it? How many knows it's just giving up yourself and accepting Him? You can't be self. Self doesn't work in a Christian world, in a Jesus Christ world. It's all about Him and not about us. God may be asking something difficult to you. There may be something going on in your life that you need some little grace right now. I truly feel there's some people trying to make decisions right now. Some decisions are there and some things are going on in your life and you need God's mercy and grace to touch you. You need to reach out and get a hold of that so you can make those decisions the way He wants you to make them. There's things going on in some jobs I know right now that are troubling. And you don't know what to do. How many know if Jesus is in control of your life, it doesn't matter, it's going to be okay. There's things going on in families and relationships. The enemy doesn't want it to go smooth in your life. He's always stirring up problems. How does He do it? Through other people. But when you got Jesus in control, then you know what? I know one thing, my God's much bigger than any of those things. My God's much stronger than any of those things. My God is bigger and taller and broader. He can handle any of those things that come up in my life. All I have to do is just give it to Him. Let Him have it. How many knows you try to take control of it, you're going to fail. God wants to take control of your life. I heard somebody say one time, and I saw it on a sticker on the back of a car the other day, it says, God is my co-pilot. God is my co-pilot. That sounds good, doesn't it? Anybody like that idea? God is my co-pilot? Put your hand down. That's not good. I want God as the pilot. I want Him piloting my plane. I mean, if I'm a co-pilot, I might be going somewhere too quick, too fast for Him to fix it. I want Him to control everything in my life. And how do I do it? I have to do it every day. Do I mess up? Absolutely. And when I mess up, you know what I do? I fess up. As soon as I mess up, you just fess up. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. It happened. And I'm so sorry. Forgive me right now. I'm going to move on. But when I keep messing up every time I turn around for the same old thing, there's a problem. God doesn't want you to be a Sunday morning Christian. He wants you to be an everyday Christian. He wants you to walk with Him and talk with Him. I have some of the strangest conversations I know people think when I'm going down the highway because I'm talking to Him with the windows down. I'm saying, well, Lord, I just don't know. How are we going to get through this? What do I need to do here? People probably look at me like, needs to go to the loony bin. He's talking to nobody. How many knows I'm talking to somebody? So today can be that first day. Today can be that day when everything changes. When grace and mercy will come running to you. How many knows that song we sang? Mercy came running. Mercy came running. It came to Him. It can come to me. But you got to seek it. You got to find it. You got to ask for it. It may come to you and just happen, but I don't want to take that chance. If I got to wait to help it come to me, I want to try it, don't you? I need that grace and mercy in my life. Life's tough. Life's not easy. Life has it. Anybody challenged with life right now? Raise your hand if you got a challenge in your life right now. Maybe your health, all the things we talked about. If there's a challenge in your life, God is ready to be there for you. So I'm going to ask you right now, everyone just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second. I want you to think about this. If I need grace and I need mercy, why am I not getting it? Why is it not coming into my life? I got to wipe the slate clean right now. I got to get right with Jesus. I got to get right with Him. How do you do that? Ask Him to forgive you. I know there's stuff in my life I don't even know about that I probably need to ask Him for. And I try every morning I get up, Lord, forgive me for anything I don't know. But you got to take the first step. So I'm going to ask you right now, if there's anyone in this place right now, and no one looking around, please. I don't want anybody looking around because I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just want you to be truthful to yourself. Is there anyone in this place this morning who says, you know, I need to get it right with Him? There's a few things that I've been doing or saying or going, and there's some things in my life I got to just give over to Him right now. If that's you, just raise your hand and put it right back down real quick. I see hands. Hands all over this place. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. And here's the second part of this. If you need mercy and you need grace from Him today, if that's you this morning, you really need it this morning, put your hand up and put it back down. I see hands too. I'm going to open this altar up right now. And I'm going to encourage you to come. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God's mercy and grace just flood your life right now. Just flood your life right now. So if you raised your hand, I ask you to come and just stand in this altar just for a few minutes. I won't keep you long.